This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mukhtar in studio today with Kusu Chuang and Noel Lim. First, we recap how global markets ended the trading day yesterday.
It was good. US markets Dow up 0.1%, S&P 500 up 0.2%, the Nasdaq was up 0.2%.
Yeah, actually the S&P hit 4,500 points, which is the mark that most analysts thought they're going to hit by the end of the year. So they hit it earlier, and I think Wells Fargo has actually upped the target to 4,900 now. In the Nikkei, Japan, that's unchanged. Hong Kong was down 0.1%. The Shanghai Com was up by 0.7%. The Straits Times Index, like the Hang Seng, no, in fact, the Japanese Nikkei was unchanged. And of course, Malaysia had to go the other direction. We went up by 1%.
All right, and joining us for some thoughts on what's moving markets, we have on the line Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Good morning, Vishnu. Happy Thursday. What are your expectations for the Jackson Hole Symposium that begins this weekend? Will the Fed give a clear indication of their monetary policy amidst the mixed economic data and inflationary concerns, do you think?
Happy Thursday, indeed. I think the Fed at the Jackson Hole probably will have to address wider issues. For anyone watching the markets, the fact that taper is about to start either end of this year or beginning of next year, that's a foregone conclusion, whereas what the Fed really needs to clarify is how they would enact and mete out taper in the context of the flexible average inflation targeting. And that's to say, is the pace going to be the same as the last round of taper? Is the interval between taper and rate hikes going to be the same? And I think all of this will come back to the time frame and the new so-called neutral rates and neutral size of the balance sheet. The Fed's balance sheet is now over $8 trillion. That's almost double, just shy of double of the last time around. So quite a few markets have changed. And I think markets will be most interested in hearing about whether and how the Fed would view emerging Delta risks or emerging global soft spots and what that means for policy.
Yeah, Vishnu, how nuanced must his commentary be, given the fact that in 2018, his comments that tapering would be autopilot would send shockwaves around the markets? And I think secondly as well, his appointment at the Fed is soon under scrutiny.
I mean, that's a really good question. And I think the title of the Jackson Hole is a giveaway. I mean, so they're talking about global policy in the context of an uneven recovery. And that's to say, if you are flying in terrains that are not quite what you're used to, then the autopilot comment really has to take a back seat, and I think that's really what markets are looking for, whether and how the Fed would approach this. Two things they are probably going to focus a lot on are A, whether the Fed and the durability about around the Fed's accommodation of a higher inflation in the interim while recovery is coming through. And the other thing is that the central bank reserves that are built up, whether that would impact how quickly the Fed is going to roll back taper as well. But one thing for sure is markets might appreciate and view positively any indication that that the state-dependent normalization of monetary policy would still have a bias to support growth.
Yeah, that's right, Vishnu. So obviously markets, and we discussed this in a few minutes ago, S&P, right? The markets are expecting a fresh round of stimulus of a few trillion dollars potentially over the next few weeks. What's your sense of that?
They're still going to look at the details of it as to what has to give, how it's going to be financed, and where the priority will be. But the bigger theme of infrastructure spending leading the way means that you would still see a lot of winners on the S&P coming out of this. The only question then would be whether a little bit down the road after the headline on stimulus, whether any of these capacity constraints that the global economy is already struggling with, whether it's in terms of shipping or production capacity and commodity prices, whether those kinks will interrupt the so-called party that equity markets might have with regards to the fiscal stimulus that would give them a boost.
Well, on this note, over in China, the yields on 10-year bonds fell after a cash injection by the PBOC. Are there increasing concerns about liquidity in the mainland?
I think there was for a while, and at a certain level there continues to be, but this has been placated to some extent because the PBOC has come out and said they are looking at credit easing. So basically they are looking at more accommodation, but they were quite targeted and nuanced about it in saying that this is particularly aimed at smaller companies that have you know, constrained access to finance. The bigger issue here is whether the PBOC and the other authorities are going to ease back on the tightening that they have they've done over the property market. That property segment could entail a lot of liquidity ripples, and I think that aspect of it we're still unsure about. But what we know is that the PBOC is going to be very nimble and flexible with the way it manages, and I was going to say fluid, with liquidity. And we've seen that in the various auctions, whether it's MLFs or very short-term liquidity. So liquidity in itself is not as much a concern as it is who will have access to it and which parts of the economy could still suffer from the lack of.
Yeah, Vishnu, I'm sure you're looking at China very, very closely. And of course, that pace of regulatory clampdowns among industries has started to bite into economic growth. In the context of that development, right, which is quite tectonic, how do you view China's economy and its growth in the, you know, perhaps the next 1 to 3 years?
I love that you use the word tectonic. I think that's really apt here. And that's what I think spooks investors. It is not so much about regulation in and of itself, but it is the lack of clarity of where it's headed and why it's headed that way, and the very sudden and brutal moves, for example, the sweeping non-profit, or the abolition of profit motive for the private tuition industry, which is a multi-billion-dollar industry. Those things can reverberate quite a bit, and I think how it then would. So it raises two concerns. One is investors, whether it's local or global investors, they would then have a lot of trepidation about asset valuation and valuing future cash flows, which means you cannot properly allocate a value. And so your risk premium must go up. And then it just has a knockback value on companies in China because their ability to raise cash onshore as well, and in particularly offshore, because people who have got less clarity are a bit more spooked. That will also be impacted. So the big picture here might be there may be a social welfare aspect, there may be a control aspect to it, but at the end of the day, Beijing cannot be out to destroy all of its companies. So it would be interesting to see whether they are able to provide that kind of clarity and to some extent assurance to investors onshore and abroad alike.
Vishnu, I'm going to squeeze in one more question, and that's looking over to India's economy. So after a torrid first half of the year, India's stock market has staged a remarkable comeback, but questions remain about the strength of the country's GDP growth. So what's your economic outlook on India this quarter?
I think this quarter, the economy is on a fairly good footing. And I think, of course, it's exaggerated and flattered by the fact that Q2 was, dismal. And so the recovery and the pickup in activity continues. And I think that ought to remain in place, barring any unwelcome third wave effects. But the big picture, and I think the real important point is the recovery would remain very much uneven. Large corporates will continue to do well. Hence, we will see that equities appear to be a lot more exuberant than the on-the-ground facts are. And that's because of the bias towards large corporates that have access to financing, so on and so forth. But the lower strata of the economy could struggle with much more uneven K-shaped kind of recovery. And it doesn't help that the cost impact, the rising cost, will be rubbing salt.
Vishnu, thank you as always for your insights. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.